Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Well, I'm telling everybody, the reason why I want to get this message out is there's several reasons. The first reason is when I was growing up, I was sick. I was really sick. And I didn't know what health was. Well, I was when I was growing up. When I was 19 years old, I started to get sick. And I did what I was trained to do, and that was to go to the doctor. I thought my doctor knew more about my body than I did, because that's what my parents told me. Well, every time I went to the doctor, I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. So I'm thinking something's wrong with this doctor. So I went to some other doctors. And everything they told me to do, I wasn't getting better, I was getting worse. So that's when I stopped listening to the doctors. I actually started listening to them and doing the opposite, and I started getting better. I tell people, if you want to be the healthiest people, you go to the most popular doctor around. Whatever they say, do the opposite, and you'll be pretty healthy. Are there any doctors here? No, good. Now, some doctors are amazing. Emergency room doctors, spinal cord injuries, and things like this. These doctors are a blessing. But if we're going to put something in our body to create an illness, the answer isn't taking some drug to deal with the pain. The answer is to eliminate what caused the problem. Everyone say eliminate.
Eliminate.
Now say with enthusiasm.
Eliminate.
Great. I hope you all do that on a regular basis. Eliminate with enthusiasm. So I realized that health doesn't begin with what we add to our diet. It begins with what we eliminate. So I eliminated the things causing the problem. And I realized a major problem was stress. If we eliminate the stress in our life, and what's the greatest way to eliminate the stress in our life? It's believe and have faith in our Messiah, Yeshua. So I realized we have to eliminate the stress from our lives. And I did that with my diet. I eliminated the things that were very stressful. I started to eat more of a diet that the scriptures talk about. But then I was almost 100% better, but then I had to eliminate the biggest thing creating stress in my life. I eliminated my doctor. And right as I did that, I started to feel better. Now, let me clarify, since I am from New York, I didn't eliminate my doctor, I just stopped going to visit her. And then I had to look elsewhere, and I started to look at the foods that we were designed and created to eat. And as I ate those, I got better. And I'm going to talk about what those foods are today. The other thing I want to talk about and let people know is we have not only been designed to eat a certain food, we've been designed to live a certain way. And just because we've gotten away with living against that way we were designed, doesn't mean it's okay. That's our wonderful Creator's mercy to give us time to figure it out. But guess what? It will catch up to us. So we need to start figuring it out and do something about it. And I got healed from my condition. I had something called inflammatory bowel disease, which was inflammation of the colon. And my doc, to this day, there's still no medical cure for this illness. But I'm here to tell everybody, just because there's no medical cure, it doesn't mean there's no cure, right? There is a cure. And I'm going to be using some names today you might not be familiar with, you might be familiar with. For our Creator, I'm going to use the name Yahweh. That's the name we call on. That's His name. And for His Son, I'm going to be using Yeshua. Now, in the Hebrew, the names have meanings. And the name Yeshua means the salvation of Yahweh. So we see on that, we call on that, and some amazing things happen. Now, so many people call me the health guy or the diet guy. It's not about health or diet. It's about obedience. That's what it comes down to. And we have been given the instructions, the guidelines of the scriptures, and they're known as Torah. They're not called the law. They're called the Torah, the instructions and the guidelines. This is what we have to understand. Well, just like I was trained when I was growing up to go to my doctor if I was sick, as believers, many of us were changed to believe that the Bible is not one book, it's two books. And we've been trained not to follow the instructions and guidelines because we said we don't have to do that anymore. Well, as believers, we're told to listen to the message of Yeshua Messiah. If you're a believer of Yeshua Messiah, you are a follower of the way. What way? The way He told us to live. Well, when I go to speak in congregations and churches and they do their prayers, there's more prayer for healing of disease than any other topic. And I'm thinking if these people got the greatest health book right in their hands, they shouldn't be praying for healing of disease. They should be praising for their great health. But it takes action. We have to follow what it says to do. That's the problem. James 4:17 was the first scripture I ever remembered without trying to remember a scripture. And it says, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. So you may not know some of the things I'm going to tell you here today, but after you hear them, you can no longer say, I never heard that before. So now you can take responsibility and do something about it. The scriptures say, do not add or take away from my word, but do all that I command you to do. Do is an action word. And it doesn't say do some of the things I command you to do. Do all of those things. Now I will tell you this. We're not saved by works. We can't work our way into heaven. But I'll tell you this. If we're truly saved, we should have every desire to do his works. And not use grace and an excuse to keep living in sin that so many people out there do today, because that's what they're trained to do, because they're not reading the word. They're listening to some stranger they've never seen before who's not teaching what the word's actually saying. Now, if we're truly believers, why do we suffer? This is a question I get all the time. Why do we suffer? You got to think about this question. We got today more money, science, knowledge, and study of the topic of disease than ever before in the history of man. But at the same time, we got more people suffering than ever before in the history of man. You know what the connection is? The connection is we have more people living against the words of Yahweh more than ever before in the history of man. This is why we're suffering. It says it very clearly. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today, so have your Bibles open or your computers on or whatever you want to say. But Isaiah 24:5 is the first scripture to answer why we suffer. It says in Isaiah 24:5, the earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted Yahweh's instructions, violated his laws, and broke his everlasting covenant. We have to understand the first sin of man was not about eating some apple. It was about disobeying our Creator. And just as Adam and Eve suffered, will we continue to suffer for disobeying our Creator, what we should be doing according to how we should be living and so on. We must understand the importance of this. 2 Ephesians 8 and 9 says, we are saved so we can do the good things that He told us to do a long time ago. You know what those good things are? Those good things are Torah. That's what they are. You know, the Torah is the foundation of all the teachings of Yeshua Messiah. The Torah is the foundation of all of Scripture. And just like if you're building a house, if you have a good foundation, everything on top of that is going to be strong. If you have a weak foundation, you're in trouble. If you truly want to know the words of Messiah, learn the Torah. Because guess what? When he was around, there was no new covenant. He was teaching Torah. The guidelines and instructions, that's why he's known as the living Torah. And the Torah clearly gives us the things we should be doing when it comes to our diet and our health and so on. But in all areas of obedience, it gives us those instructions and guidelines. And he says, my Torah will not be burdensome to those who have a desire and love me. Amen. You know, so he's not going to give us things that we cannot accomplish. We have to get away from this thinking, oh, we can't do that or we shouldn't do that. No. Why is it that a believer will say, well, I can do all things through him who strengthens me except get off coffee and cure cancer? No, all things means all things. It doesn't mean some things. I know people that were sick and they were healed, not by a doctor, by the word of our Messiah, and being obedient to carry it out. You know, his will be done in our lives, but we have to do his will for it to be done in our lives. So we need to understand these things. Now, when it comes to health, what do we think we all want? Disease is the greatest motivator. That's what it comes down to. If somebody is sick, they want to be cured. The next thing we think we want, if somebody is not sick, they don't want to get sick. They want to avoid disease. And then the main thing we want is we want to have energy and we want to look good. That's what we think we want in today's world. Well, that's not what we really desire. What we really desire is not a disease-free life, but a pain-free life. It's not a disease that people don't like. It's a pain that goes along with disease. From my experience, people love their diseases often. They get attached to their diseases. They get special attention they never got before. They get special benefits they never got before. It's not the disease. It's the pain that goes along with the disease. So we want a pain-free life. The next thing we want is we want peace, an emotional peace. Now in Hebrew, the words mean something different than in English. In English, you might have one or two meanings per word, but in Hebrew, there's a whole bunch of meanings per word. And that word shalom doesn't just mean peace like, oh, you're not at war, peace. No, it means there's an emotional peace that's upon you that no matter what's going on around, you're not getting stressed out about it because you know he's taking care of us and we're going to be fine. We have that shalom upon us. And then the last thing we need is we want everlasting joy. And I don't say happiness, but I say joy because happiness is based on something that happens. Whether it's somebody or somebody that did something, we're happy or unhappy. It's based on the outside, and they can control us with that. But joy comes from the inside. And when you have joy, nobody can take that away from you. So we want this everlasting joy, and that's what we need. Now, to understand all of this and to get all of this, what we have to do is understand our scriptures. If we understand the scriptures, we can get a clear idea of what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it. So when we look at the scriptures and we look at what they are, we have to understand the importance of the word covenant. Because covenant means promise. And the scriptures are a covenant between us and our Creator. When we accept Yeshua as Messiah, we're promising that we're going to keep the words of the guidelines and instructions found in Torah. That's what we are saying. And something is supposed to happen. When you accept Yeshua, what's supposed to happen is you're to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Now, you might still struggle with those things, but you can no longer love those things. You have to love his word more than you love the taste of that junk food that's destroying your health. You have to love his word more than all these different things. If you continue to go keep loving the things you love before you proclaim Yeshua as your Messiah, you have to question if that was true or you were just doing lip service. You know, so we have to love his word. In Jeremiah 11:3, it says, "Cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant." Cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. You know, you have curses, so we need to obey the words of the covenant found in Scripture. I met a lady once, she said she's been a believer for 30 years, she never read the whole Bible. I said, "Ma'am, I don't care how slow you read. Even if you read one page a day in 30 years, you're going to get through the whole Bible." Where is her passion to learn? How can you follow the covenant if you don't know what it says to do? We need to follow it, and we need to understand what it says. Then there are people out there that say the scriptures are written by man, so we don't have to follow them. But if you know your scriptures, you know they're written by the hand of our Creator. He's the one that gave Moses the commandments, and he gave it to all the people, the commandments even before Moses. He spoke them to them. So the scriptures are there, and they clearly show us. But here's the problem. Many people think of it as two books and not one book. And that's the issue we have. If you truly, I looked at, one of my hobbies is looking at different translations of the scriptures. I love to do that. And I tell you, from a diet standpoint, I yet to find a translation that says in the Garden of Eden they had coffee and donuts. Uh-oh. They didn't have coffee and donuts in there. They had fruits and vegetables. I can go to some churches, they even have the audacity to have a coffee shop and call it the Eden Coffee Shop, and there's no fruits or vegetables in there. You know, I call it the Gospel of the Oxymoron or the Book of Hypocrites. We got to start doing something about this. It's not two books. It's one book. It's not an old and a new. When you start thinking like that, you start thinking, well, he did away with the old and now we have a new way to do things. No, it's an original and a renewed. It was so important, he restored that and took it off paper and put it on our hearts. And that's what we are to do. You know, I see all the translations everyone has here, and I could tell you how to make your translation wonderful. You need to take a page in your Bible and rip it out. That's the page that separates the original covenant from the renewed covenant. When you start looking at it as one book and not two, you start to understand that Yeshua was teaching Torah. He wasn't doing away with Torah. And we have to get away from this oxymoron teaching that's going out there today. The Bible is a book of opposites. And when we understand this concept, we can start to see why so many people are suffering today. The Bible is a book of opposites. It has blessings versus curses. Good versus evil, life versus death, and health versus disease. And you can't have two opposites in your life at the same time. You might think you could. People call me up and says, "Oh, I feel great except for my illness." That's an oxymoron. You can't have two oxymorons or two opposites in your life at the same time. You either have good or evil, life or death, sickness or disease, blessings or curses. And the more obedient you are to the word, the more you will be blessed. We're saved through the blood of Messiah, but we're blessed by being obedient to his word. So when we see that and we understand that, we look at some words that we could transpose and get a better understanding of what it says about health and disease in the scriptures. Let's take the word evil. Transpose the word evil with the word dis-ease. And you get a clear understanding, majority of the time, of what the Bible has to say about dis-ease. Take the word weakness and transpose that with the word sickness. And take the word strength and transpose that with the word health. Not 100% of the time, but the majority of the time, you'll get a clearer understanding of the health message found in Scripture. When we see this, we realize that when we read our Scriptures, it says there are certain things that are revealed to us and certain things that are hidden. Well, on the right time, he will reveal things, everything we need to know, and when it comes to diet, nothing can be more clearly revealed than what we should be eating. And the fact that people aren't eating what the Scriptures tell us to eat just shows me people aren't reading their Scriptures. There's no misunderstanding. How do you mistranslate, "Don't eat this"? How do you mistranslate that? You know, when we're thinking on our fleshly desire, it's easy to mistranslate that. We could say, "Well, he didn't mean that. We could bless over anything and eat it." No, you can't. I don't care how many times you bless a Twinkie, it's never going to be healthy for you. You know, but people want to make up all these excuses, you know. So we have to not conform to the thinking and standards of this world, as it says in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to these thinkings and standards, but let your mind be transformed and your will be transformed by what he wants you to do. So we think about these things. What it has to come down to is a decision versus emotion. Emotions get people in trouble. You know, emotions are supposed to warn us when we're doing something wrong, but it's not supposed to dictate our life. Yeah. But that's what's happening out there. What we need to dictate our lives is our decision. And we make a decision when we're thinking straight, not when we're motivated or excited about something because some program is programming us because they've been trained their whole life to do that. You know, if you don't think that the advertisers can't control us, why would they have pay millions of dollars for a 10-second commercial during the Super Bowl? Because they know how to control you. That's why they call it programming. Right. You know, so we need to make a decision and stick to it no matter what's happening out there, no matter what people are saying. And when you accept Yeshua as Messiah, you're making a decision. I'm going to follow his word no matter what anyone tells me, no matter what my pagan friends tell me, no matter what my non-believing family tells me, or no matter what that pastor might tell me that doesn't believe in the word or doesn't follow the word. Regardless, even if it goes against the grain, we are called to be set apart as believers. Everyone say set apart. And I'll say it with even more enthusiasm. Who are we to be set apart from? From the non-followers, from the non-believers. If we look the same, act the same way, think the same way, eat the same way, get the same sicknesses, have the same sadness, same worries, same fears, we're not set apart. We need to be set apart in all areas. So we look at this, and we look at the guidelines and instructions that are found in the scriptures, and we look at what the Messiah told us to do. He told us to keep and follow the scriptures in the Torah. You know, to go out there and get the word, and get the word in the Torah, and teach it in our actions, and in our walk, and also in every person we speak to, we got to tell them, look, I'm not doing that. And they say, well, why not? Well, the scriptures tell me not to do that. Well, you got to listen to the scriptures and what the scriptures always say. Because I'm a believer, that's why. You know, because I don't want the same problems that are going to come on the people that don't listen to those things. Because I have a passion for my Messiah. We look at what the scriptures say, just something about the days of our lives, how long we should live. It says in Genesis 6:3, yet man's days should be 120 years. Now, I used to think this meant we should be living 120 years. But it doesn't mean that. Because our Creator wouldn't limit our life at all and put a limitation on us. He, you know, he'll give us, if we follow his guidelines and instructions, there were people that after the scripture was given that lived longer than 120 years. What this scripture was given is during the time of Noah, when you had Noah building the ark, he said it's going to be 120 years, people have to get right with this, or destruction will come. He gave them 120 years. And when the Israelites went over to the promised land, the people didn't just not know they were coming. They had 400 years prior to that. They told Abraham that the children were going to come, get ready. And only one change. And that was Rahab, and she was spared. He's given us time to get right with the word. That's his mercy. He's given us time. He's given you time. But as we see from example, time will run out. So now it's time to get right and stop being a believer and a follower of the word and start doing these things. When we look at this and we look at a great example here, we can look at Moses. Moses was a man who followed the word. And in Deuteronomy 34:7, it says he lived to 120 years. But then we go on to see in Psalms 90:10, where it says 70 years are given to some, but even some live to 80. The people that were with Moses in the desert that were rejecting the word that Yah used Moses as a messenger, they rejected his word, and their lifespan was cut short 30 to 40 years based on their disobedient actions. During this time, their disobedient actions. Here's what it comes down to. The scriptures clearly show us something we do in our actions has something to do with the quantity and quality of our life. That's what they believed when Yeshua was around teaching in the first century Christians. That's what they believed. Something we do in our actions has something to do with the quantity and quality of our life. See, now it's different thinking. Now the church pretty much says, well, whatever you do doesn't matter because you're saved by grace and just hang out and wait for the end times and you'll be fine and everything will be great. You don't have to do anything. That's not what the message of Messiah was. Something we do in our actions will change this. And we look at Ecclesiastes 7:17. It says, do not be a fool. Why die before your time? Psalms 55:23 says, "Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days." And Proverbs is another word for wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. It's another word for wisdom. And Wisdom 10:27 says, "The fear of Yahweh adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." So we see our actions have an important part in this, and you could even reverse it. You look at 2 Kings 25, King Hezekiah on his deathbed, and he repented for his sinful life, and our Creator added 15 years to his life. Actions go a long way, everybody. Proverbs 4:10 says, "Listen, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many." Proverbs 3:1 says, "My son, forget not my Torah, but let your heart guard my command, for the length of days, long life, and shalom shall they add to you." You keep his word. We don't suffer from the same diseases that the non-believers are suffering from. It wasn't in his idea for us to suffer from these diseases. Psalms 139:14 says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works." Genesis 1:31 says, "We are made in his image, and it is good." What's good about cancer, diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes? We are made in his image, and it is good. You know, but disease is not what he intended us to suffer from. Genesis 1:26 and 1:28 says, "As humans, we're supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and all living organisms." What is a virus? It's a living organism. We are to have dominion over these things, but now they are overtaking us. Now, the first time that happened, we must have been like, something's wrong here. But now it's happened so often and so much, we accept it as normal. He did not want us to be overtaken by these things. If we stick to his plan, we get his desired result. But if we get away from his plan, we're on our own. And this is the problem we have today. Look, in Exodus 15:26, it says it very clearly. "If you diligently follow all my statutes and commands, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians." This wasn't about Egyptians, it was about the disobedient. "If you diligently follow all, not some, but all my statutes and commands, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the disobedient." That's what it says. And then we think about that for a second, and we look at this, and we think about when the children crossed over to Jordan. It says this in Deuteronomy, when the children crossed over the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land, they were given a message. And the message was to go there and separate and divide and destroy every unclean thing. And if you do, I will bless you abundantly. But if you don't, not only will I put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, I will give you new diseases that you never even heard of yet. So what did the children do? They went in there. They did not separate and divide and destroy all those unclean things. They mingled the seed. And what happened? They suffered from all these diseases. What's happening today? We have more money, science, knowledge, and topic of the study of disease than ever before with all these doctors and everything else. But the seed has been mingled so much that every single day doctors are naming a new disease. We must be set apart and not mingle this seed. The scriptures give it to us over and over again, and this is the problem we have. Now, when I look at disease and look at why we're suffering, there's two major reasons. One is knowledge, and one is laziness. Or lack of knowledge and laziness. And we think about these two things, and this is why so many people are in the issues they're in today. In 1 Kings 3:9, it says, "Give your servant an understanding heart to discern between good and evil." What was another word for evil? Disease. Give your servant an understanding heart to discern between health and disease, good and evil, life and death. In Job 28:28, he says, "To man he said, see, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Daniel 12:10 says, "Many shall be purified and cleansed through trials, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." You see, knowledge, wisdom, is so important. And that's what the scriptures give us when we study it. And I don't want anyone to tell me that they don't have the mindset or they can't remember things, because we go out there, we remember the word of a secular song better than we know the words of scripture. We know every character of a Hollywood movie, but we don't know the characters in the Bible. We have knowledge, we're just using it in the wrong way. Isaiah 33:6 says, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the strength of Yeshua and the fear of Yahweh, that is man's true treasure." Well, you know what it says in Hosea 4:6? Hosea 4:6 says, "My people have perished for lack of knowledge." How many of you ever heard that before? my people have perished for lack of knowledge. But you know what that says in the Hebrew? In the Hebrew that says, my people perish for lack of the knowledge. And the knowledge they're talking about is Torah. We have knowledge. We know a lot of things. But it's lack of the knowledge. We perish for lack of the knowledge of the Torah. And it goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priests for me. Since you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim, I also forget your children. You can only reject something that's given to you, and you can only forget something you once knew. And not only will we suffer, our children will continue to suffer for rejecting this or forgetting this. You know, diseases don't run in family lines. Oh, everyone in my family's obese, I got this issue. Or everyone in my family has lung cancer, we got this issue. No, it's not the disease that runs in your line. It's overeating and smoking that runs in your line. You know, start treating your body like a temple, and you won't have these curses that continue to happen. We have to take action and do something about it. But we don't take action. Why? Because we're lazy. We're lazy. We're not lazy for things that we love, the things we have passion about. We're not lazy. We'll get up any time to go something we're passionate about. You know, but we have so many idols in our lives and everything else. If somebody says, come here on a Shabbat morning, people have trouble just getting out of bed. You know, if the service was 8 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't have as many people here as you do now. The later in the day, the more people would show up because people have trouble getting out of bed because they have no passion for the word. You tell somebody, you know what, you know, you get up 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to go tell you to see your favorite music star or something else. We're going to buy tickets to go to a concert. They'll be online at 7 o'clock in the morning waiting for it. You know, the laziness, it goes right along with where our passion truly is. It says in Psalms 127:2, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, actually working for food to eat, for our Creator gives rest to his loved ones. You see, he wants us to sleep. Sleep is really important, but we need to get up when we need to be getting up and do what we have to do. Proverbs 18:9 says, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. When you're lazy, you're destroying two things. Number one, if you're too lazy to get in the kitchen and make yourself a salad, you're destroying your own physical health. And number two is if you're too lazy to get down on your knees and pray to our Creator without falling asleep, you're destroying your relationship with him. You know, a lazy person is bad as someone who destroys things. Wisdom 6:9 says, how long will you sleep, O lazy ones? When will you arise out of your sleep? You know, we need to get up and do something, but we can't because we're up all night watching things that have nothing to do with the scripture. You know, the program is keep us up and keep us motivated to be up all night, and then we can't go to sleep. The advertisers and the government and the world and everything else is keeping us drugged up with caffeine and everything else, and then we say we can't get to sleep at night, so we can't get up in the morning. If we follow the words of our Creator, we're not worried about those things. You know, when he tells us to get up, we get up. We don't say, give us 10 more minutes. We get up and do what we have to do. You know, how bad would it be if I was too sick to come here today to do this message? It's not about me. It's not about you. We're not eating healthy so we can go out and have fun and play more games. No, the healthier we are, the more energy we have. And the more energy we have, the more we're going to go out to get the word out about the good news.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open. 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Nana Morrison Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Nana Morrison Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.
I see you in the skies with purple hue. I hear you in the quiet morning too. And when the world is still asleep, I'm waking up to you. see you in the glow of summer nights. I feel you in the day.